And BC teachers now have the right to negotiate class size and composition thanks to last week's Supreme Court of Canada decision. The battle began 14 years ago and has been in the headlines for just as long. We've talked a fair bit about it even on our own program. The ongoing legal dispute has been the source of a lot of anger, tension between teachers' unions in BC and the government. And Richard Girode is the president of the Prince George District Teachers Association. And he joins us this morning with reaction. And good morning to you.
Good morning.
So 14 years, a long time. What was your reaction when you heard of this ruling? It came somewhat of a surprise, no?
It came as a huge surprise. Nobody had expected a ruling probably until late into the spring, because usually it takes about 6 months for the Supreme Court to make a ruling on any court cases that they're hearing.
Now, why has it taken so long, 14 years, and then finally get to this? This is the final. This is the final.
Yes.
There's no more after this, correct?
There's no more after this. Well, there is some other things that take place, but no more court cases.
Yeah, okay. So what does it mean for class size composition and the ability for teachers now to be able to negotiate?
It's not even the ability to negotiate. What it is it takes the ruling of Justice Griffin and exonerates it,
okay,
puts it into play. And her ruling was that the stripping of the our collective agreement through bills, and there were a number of bills, 27, 28, there was another one, 22. There was quite a few different bills that were actually used over the years to strip the contract. Those were declared unconstitutional by her.
Okay.
So the Supreme Court of Canada has upheld that the government of the day violated our constitutional rights and in the stripping of the contract, but also in the enacting of those bills. In other words, those bills became illegal once the Supreme Court of Canada made their ruling. When those bills become illegal, they're not in effect.
Right.
And that means that all the contract language is now back into our contract.
Okay.
It's not that we can just negotiate it. It's that we start with it in our contract. Now, there's a letter of understanding from the last bargaining. Our last contract, it was from 2013 to 2019. There was a letter of understanding number 17, which in the education fund section, talking about the education fund, $80 million that would be given each year for support of students. That particular letter of understanding actually speaks about if in the court cases that any of the contract is put back into play, that would then open up immediately for negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are going to have to open that up because that's part of our collective agreement, and we have agreed to that. That's something that was negotiated, and we will, the BCTF will be opening up those negotiations.
Okay.
However, we start from the point of this is our contract, and these articles are now in it.
Okay, so stepping back, for those, of course, we're speaking to parents and people with kids across Northern BC, what has this meant over the years for class size and composition? What has been the real-world impacts on kids' class sizes and teachers?
Well, the key question that you asked me today was, what was my reaction?
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly emotional. And I don't mean in the sense of euphoria of the win for teachers or whatever, but as a in the role that I have worked with many teachers who have had the most untenable, unmanageable, just terrible classroom situations. And what I see is that this is going to fix that. For 14 years now, we have had underfunding of supports for students in our education system. The government actually pulled $300 million of support out. 3,500 teachers right off the bat across the province were taken out. In this district, I remember making a presentation to the school board when Matt Pierce was the president at the time, and I had been elected for the next year, and I went with him and Tina Cousins, the first vice president. We gave a presentation to the school board, and we laid out 22 pairs of shoes, representing the support teachers that would be in our district had they not stripped the contract.
Could this lead to potentially more jobs for teachers down the road and, I guess, smaller class sizes, essentially?
If the contract stays as it is, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Every classroom in this district as of today is in violation, almost every class. And when I say that, probably every class from K to 7 is in violation of the collective agreement. Because the class size is actually set in those articles. And the government enacted legislation to change it, strip it out, and make their own class sizes.
Right.
And
so what should class sizes be?
The class sizes by the school act are, you just take kindergarten, 22 students.
Right. And what are they typically?
And under the contract, it would be 20 students.
Hmm.
For grades 1, 2, 3, it's 24 students. under the contract, those classes would be 22 students. So they've built everything around the School Act and what they decided to do after they stripped everything out. Hmm. Now that this is all back into play, those articles are now active.
So now with this decision out of the way, what happens next?
Well, the next thing that has to take place is that negotiation has to take place. And, you know, we use the word operationalize. How do you operationalize this after it has been, when you've removed the financial support for all of those student supports that they took out? How are they going to put that all back in? I'll give you an example. The government as part of their court case, asked some of the superintendents, could you please financialize? In other words, figure out how much it would cost to put all that back in, because we want the judges to see how almost impossible it would be to put all this back in. Mm-hmm. And so there were quite a few. Kamloops, Coquitlam, there was quite a few different districts where they actually did that. I'll give you one in Coquitlam. The superintendent there estimated $40 million to put those supports back in.
Wow. So could see a lot of...
So we're just talking a lot of money. Stripped $300 million out of public education at that time, and that was just supports for students. And then, of course, over those 14 years, they have decreased funding and decreased funding and decreased funding even further.
A long ways yet, so we'll basically be probably talking about this again in the future.
Oh, I think we will, yeah.
Well, Richard, thanks for joining me this morning, coming in live.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you.
Richard Girode is the president of the Prince George District Teachers Association, joining me live in the Prince George studio. And your thoughts on what you just heard? Call our listener line 1-866-340-1932 or email us daybreaknorth@cbc.ca.